Hello, this is the weekend wrap for the week on Wednesday. I am Ben Davison. Since we last spoke on Wednesday, a lot has happened around our great nation. Of course, in WA, we've seen Perth emerge from its lockdown after a positive COVID case last weekend. So congratulations to the people of WA for coming through that. Unfortunately, of course, people in Perth have also had to deal with raging bushfires, which have seen 86 homes destroyed. That's really unfortunate news for people in WA. And unfortunately, today I've read that it does appear as though arson has been is being investigated. So hopefully that turns out not to be the case. There's never a good reason to set fire to someone else's home, and our thoughts go out to everyone involved in that. In Victoria, we saw the conversion therapy, the forced conversion therapy that has often been administered to our LGBTIQA plus community, finally banned, which is really fantastic to see. Of course, this has happened over the objections of a number of what I would call ultra-conservative right-wing members of the upper house in Victoria. So two Liberals voted against the ban, voted to continue to torture members of our community. Bernie Finn, of course, led that brigade. But also, interestingly, the Darren Hinch Justice Party upper house members seem to have voted against the ban as well. This is after the Liberals had a massive internal division here in Victoria and really couldn't settle on a position that was either supportive of the community or supportive of torturing them. So in the lower house, they simply didn't turn up for the vote. In the upper house, it looks as though they were just split. Of course, this was also the first week of Parliament sitting, and we saw some really interesting scenes, and we covered this off a little bit on the week on Wednesday, where Tanya Plibersek took on Craig Kelly in the hallway. Since then, of course, we've seen Morrison's office get a really very positive run in the media for what was apparently a private phone call telling off Craig Kelly. My view is that if it's a private phone call, you don't drop it to the media, but also this is a guy who frankly needs more than just a private telling off. Insiders covered this off today, and even then there were still some people on the panel who seemed to not understand the power of social media, and that Craig Kelly, as the most prominent Australian politician on social media, that's right folks, he's actually got the largest audience, is doing a significant amount of damage to people and needs to be stopped and publicly disavowed. But the other thing is, this is also, you know, the debate that Scott Morrison wants to have. This week in Parliament, they were once again trying to debate the industrial relations changes. These are cuts to pay, cuts to workers' rights, fire-on-demand type policies. And frankly, the media was more focused on Craig Kelly being a blowhard than anything else. And it's pretty sad to see. And of course, we still see the agitation of backbench Liberal MPs trying to cut superannuation. So these are people who were happy to give away $5.5 billion of our money to so-called self-funded retirees, but now want to cut the retirements of hardworking everyday Australians. Of course, MPs are already on 15.4% super, and you know this increase would get people up to 10 and then up to 12, and of course they don't want that to happen. So you'll see a lot flying around about that in the week coming up. There's a lot on IRs, a lot on super. You'll see lots of discussion, I'm sure, about Craig Kelly, but also this issue around who's responsible for quarantine, right? And of course, the Commonwealth is responsible, constitutionally responsible for quarantine. It's responsible for our national borders. But throughout the COVID pandemic, we've seen them give up that responsibility, and not just give it up, but really push it onto the states. So every state has had to manage these quarantine hotels, and every state now has had some issue with it at some point to a more or less degree. And yet the Commonwealth just really hasn't stepped up to the plate here. They've really pushed this back onto the states. They've foregone their constitutional obligation to the point where 40,000 Australians remain trapped overseas. So now what they're trying to do is create some more division in the community by suggesting that maybe these people should be flown into regional parts of Australia. Now, of course, this is not going to be popular locally. There's going to be lots of issues around infrastructure. And people have made this point. I saw one interview on the ABC where a doctor said, look, sure, it might make some sense to have people quarantine in regional areas, but at the same time, you've got none of the infrastructure that's needed. The hospital systems in regional areas much more easily overwhelmed. If there is a breakout, you're then talking about whole communities without the health infrastructure, without the kind of just simple food delivery infrastructure as well. We live in a regional area ourselves. You know, I was just at a meeting earlier today where we were talking about food delivery services that simply don't exist where we live. So there's all sorts of complications involved in having a regional quarantine. Of course, the Commonwealth has already demonstrated that it's going to push these responsibilities that belong to it onto other people. You know, you can see the states having to think about how they're going to do this. Obviously, we want to get Australians home. We don't want people trapped overseas. I talked about this, I think, last weekend. It's really, really important the Commonwealth step up. But of course, we don't expect Morrison will do that. In fact, some sectors have so much given up hope on Morrison and the Commonwealth government that they're turning to the states of their own accord. So, of course, I'm talking here about the higher education sector. This is a clear area of Commonwealth responsibility. But Morrison has done nothing. He's actually cut support for the higher education sector. Dan Tehan, who's the education minister this week, came out and said he was surprised that 15,000 jobs had gone in higher education, despite all the work that the NTU and other unions and communities have done, saying that jobs are being lost in this sector, funding has been cut, the flow of money from international students has, of course, dried up because of COVID, and the Commonwealth needs to step in and help. And what did the Commonwealth do? It said that universities couldn't access JobKeeper. So, of course, tens of thousands of people have lost their jobs. Communities, regional communities that have these universities have been struck really hard, and now they're turning to the states and they're hoping that state governments will help them. And you can understand why. And if you're a state government, you know, you can understand the temptation here to help, because these are communities that need help. These are often regional communities where the university is one of the biggest employers, the higher education provider, the TAFE, whatever it might be, is a really big part of the community. And of course, states already do so much with TAFE and continuing to do more with TAFE, Victoria and Queensland in particular. Of course, states will want to help, but the federal government has a responsibility here that it is simply not going to execute. Why? Because they see education purely as a commodity. They don't view the education of the population as a social good. And we're seeing that ideology, that Morrison ideology, that trickle-down Morrison ideology playing out. And tens of thousands of people have lost their jobs. Families have been damaged. Communities have been damaged. But that's all just collateral damage in the Morrison world. So that's going to be a big issue this week. You're going to see more and more discussion around that. You're going to see more discussion, I'm sure, around superannuation as well. My understanding is that Industry Super Australia have launched their campaign. They launched that towards the end of last week. Already the backbench of Morrison, who are anti-super, have come out against that. But this is the reality, folks. This is the reality. This is a government that wants to cut your rights at work, cut your wages, make it easier for you to be sacked, cut your retirement, cut funding to education, cut support for higher education, and they still want your vote. So just really think long and hard about who you're voting for in the elections that are coming up. Lots of talk this week about a federal election later in the year. We'll see how that plays out. Obviously, WA has a state election in March as well. That's coming up really rapidly. And from my perspective, I can't see how the McGowan government doesn't get re-elected in a landslide. They've done such a good job with COVID. That economy is growing. It's doing really well. They obviously deserve another term because they're really delivering for people there. The other two quick points that I'll just touch on. This week, there's a lot of sport going to be discussed this week. It's the Super Bowl. So you've got the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going at it. You'll see lots of discussion about Tom Brady, whether or not he's going to get his record equaling Super Bowl victory. Tom Brady, of course, one of the global superstars of sport in a lot of ways, thanks to the size of the US market. And he's really done all there is to do when it comes to the NFL. He's on track now to be one of the most successful NFL players of all time. So you can expect some, even here in Australia, some discussion about that in the news, particularly if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do pull it off and do win Super Bowl 55. And this week we will see the start of the Australian Open. So after all of the controversy, all of the kind of distracting social media chatter, all of the testing and the couple of incidents where people actually got COVID in quarantine. Now nobody who's participating in the Australian Open has COVID, which is great news. And the tournament is due to go ahead this week. So you can expect to see lots of talk about that, lots of commentary about that this week as well. Just before I go, I just want to remind people of some of the material realities that came out last week. That is that unemployment remains high. Unemployment and underemployment still impacts 2 million Australians. That's almost 10% of the population are impacted directly by unemployment and underemployment. And of course, you've got the families who are impacted there as well. Wage growth remains at record lows and is predicted to do so for years into the future. We have the material reality that CEOs like Nick Scali and business owners like Gerry Harvey have taken bonuses and dividends out of the JobKeeper program for themselves and are not going to pay that money back. And Scott Morrison is not going to make them pay that money back. These are some material realities that are still in place this week. They may come off the boil a bit in the news, but I think it's really important that we remember that. There are lots of people suffering, and the Morrison government is doing nothing to help them. That's my rant. I know people online sometimes like to call this Ben's rant. That's the weekend wrap. Remember, be kind to yourself and to each other. Bye.